So a lot of our services are on Facebook Live, and for some reason or another, the computer don't want to connect to the streaming source and all those good things, and so it's just one of those Sunday mornings, amen. But we continue on anyway, amen, praise God. We give God glory and praise and thank God for all He's doing in our lives. Hallelujah. And again, we're excited about being down here. We were down here 2 weeks ago. Amen. And we thank God for that. And so we'll be back next week, and then we'll be back on the 4th. And so with that being the case, we're going to find ourselves in a passage of scripture where I've been all week long with my church. For many of you all know that I have Bible study Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. on Facebook Live. And so we go from 6 a.m. to 6:30 on Facebook Live Monday through Friday on our church's Facebook page. And so whenever we come on Sunday, we generally continue on throughout the week, Monday through Friday, and talk about it. But because I was not here last Sunday, and we talked about it all this week with the Bible study crew, they're called the Sales Morning Group, I think we'll come back and talk about a little bit of what I talked about last week. Just hopefully to help encourage us and to keep us moving forward in the things of God. Amen? Amen. And so we won't keep talking. Come on. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's right. I like interaction. Praise God. Won't keep you long this morning, but we're going to find ourselves, and most people are that on, there's two pages that normally go up, and one of the pages are up, and so they're familiar with where we're going to be in this morning. But we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Is a very important chapter. I didn't realize how much information and how many principles in that particular chapter, First Samuel chapter 18, that applies to our everyday life as we go through and read it. And so for those who are on Facebook Live, they already know what the topic is this morning, but I'm going to give it to you. It is called Behave Wisely. Amen. It is called Behave Wisely. And so when you get into 1 Samuel chapter 18, you'll find that in that one particular chapter, you'll see where the Bible says that David behaved wisely about four or five times. Amen. Between that one and the beginning of 1 Samuel chapter 19, it's the same thing. David did what? Behaved what? Wisely. And that's important for us to know. That we have to, as children of God, do what? Behave wisely. And so before I get started in there, I'm going to give you a definition, two definitions. The first is behave, the second is wisely, and then we'll look at it from the perspective of what is being presented to us. The word behave means to act or react under certain or given conditions. It means to act or react under given circumstances or conditions. Wisely means in a way that shows discernment, good sense, or judgment. So listen to that again. To behave means to act or react under given circumstances or situations. Wisely means in a way that shows discernment, good sense, or judgment. And so when we look at this in context, it means to react with good sense and judgment under any given circumstances. To act with good sense or judgment under any given circumstances. A lot of times we don't like to, we put it this way, a lot of times we like to act right when things are going right. Amen? But there are times in our life where some things do what? Go wrong. And so God does not give us an excuse to act any other way because things are what? Going wrong. God expects us to be wise in everything that we do, to use good judgment, good sense, under every what? Circumstance. Now, we can go through a litany of circumstances that I know that probably get one of any of them that I may have mentioned, I'm sure all of us can identify with and say, hey, that thing right there just kind of gets underneath my skin, irks my nerves, or just bothers me some kind of way. But God does not give us an excuse to act any other kind of way. Amen? So let's look at this real quickly in 1 Samuel chapter 18. And again, those who are with us on one of the Facebook live feeds already know what we're going to do. We're going to read verse 1 through 15. It's a pretty long read, but I need to because there's a lot of information packed in these 15 verses that really pertains to our life every day. And if we are born again Christians, if we give our life to the Lord and we received Him, and now God expects us to be different in our behavior, then all of us need to learn how to do what? Behave what?
Wisely.
Wisely.
says now, let me get a little background. David has just come in from slaying Goliath. Philistines and the Israelites were in battle array across from one another. There was a valley. Philistines on one side of the hill, Israelites on the other side of the hill. You have this 9-foot giant standing in the valley, and he's breathing threats against Israel. Israel's not moving. I don't know about you, but if I saw a 9-foot man, this great big old warrior that's been slaying people, I'm not so sure that my 200 pounds, my 218 pounds, I'm going to run out here and fight this guy. He gives an offer. He says, hey, listen, whichever one of you all come out here and fight me, whoever wins, this is what Goliath says, whoever wins will simply be the victor, and that particular army will have to serve them. That's what he says. Now, he has this great big old shield that's taller than me. He has this big old javelin that's heavier than me. This big old coat of mail, helmet, everything else. This guy's 9 foot tall. I don't know about you, but I'm not going out to fight. Any of y'all going out to fight?
No.
I'm not. And so with that, excuse me. Okay, there we go. I was eating some trail mix before I got here, and I felt it. So praise God. So excuse me. But with that, all the army of Israel was sitting on the hill. They're looking at this situation, and they are afraid. Bob says that nobody's moving. So David is sent by his dad over to the war, and David takes some food to three older brothers. David takes some food to them. Now they upset with David, because they consider David to be very arrogant. David is the younger of 8 brothers. He's a good looking fellow, ruddy, but he has no fear. He really does not. And so he hears this Philistine giant talk about what he's going to do, and is there not one among you that will fight me? So David makes one statement. He says, who is this unclean or uncircumcised, and that's very important. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the army of the Lord? And then he asks him, what did King Saul say he'll do for the man who defeats this guy? Now I need y'all to understand this according to Numbers chapter 1, verse 3. Anyone who's over 20 years of age, they're eligible to go to war. Only 3 of David's brothers went to war. Why? Because they're the only 3 that's over what? 20 years of age. So now we know David is a what? Teenager. But he goes out here, he fights Goliath, and we know he kills him, correct? Everybody knows that David slays Goliath. Yes. Amen. He's dead. Okay, I'm getting it back. Now let's do this. Verse 1, chapter 18, verse 7 says this. Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, Saul just asked him a question about who's your father and all that other stuff. King Saul. Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan, which is Saul's son, was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and to his belt. So David went out wherever Saul sent him, and what happened? He behaved what? Wisely. That's important. I can teach a whole week's worth of sermon on the fact that wherever Saul sent him, David did what? Behaved what? Wisely. Now, I think what people miss in this whole particular place is that when the king sends you, you're operating in the king's what? Authority. So wherever Saul sends David, he behaves what? Wisely. Can you imagine walking around being sent by the king as a teenager with all this authority and what? Power. Could go to your what? You become very arrogant. Amen. It's like a teenager being left with the keys to mom and dad's car. It's like a teenager being left with mom and dad, with the keys to mom and dad, or to the house of God for a little bit, we'll be back. You know, you have control of the what? And if most of us, I know me, when I was a teenager, I just did not behave what?
Wisely.
I did. Mom and dad out of the house, it's going to be some party time going on. God knows, don't let us have no swimming pool, don't let us have no nitro things in the backyard, because all my friends are what? Coming over. It takes a level of trust and maturity to handle the responsibility in which David was given. Amen. Because he not only, wherever he sent to be behaved wisely. He also made him the leader of his men of war. So now David's over top of the entire what? Army. But he's yet a what? Teenager. It takes some serious gall, maturity, wisdom, and everything else about David in order to handle such what? Responsibilities. And the Bible says he behaved what? Wisely. Now again, you know, as a teenager for me, I was not just that wise. Amen. I couldn't keep myself under control to save my life. I just really could not. I'm burning up stuff, setting things on fire, running around the city, acting all kind of crazy. Like I ain't had no good sense. And my mom and them had to get me under control real what? Quick. Well, I would find myself in a whole lot of what? Trouble. And I did. I got myself in a whole lot of trouble. I didn't go off jail and anything of that nature, but I got myself in a whole lot of what? Trouble. Alexander police always find themselves chasing me. Throwing snowballs at police cars, at buses, at I was just one of those kids. I mean, 13, 4, you know, doing what everybody else did. Now we all do that. Now wait a minute, all you adults in here, you all looking at me like you all were just the best of kids and when you were a teenager. Now I know some of you all may have been, but have all of us been the best of kids growing up? If we told some of our kids some of the things we do, then our kids would look at us and say, why are you acting like that towards me? Am I telling the truth about it?
Sure.
Amen. But we don't tell him everything, praise God. So we're trying to say, but the Bible says, where he sent him, David behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servant. Now I need to ask you something. Either you're going to step into the shoes of David as a child of God, or you're going to step into the shoes of Saul. You're going to be one of the two people. I'm going to tell you that right now. You're going to be one of two people. You're either going to be Saul, or you're going to end up being David when problems present themselves. Either you will act like you don't have no good sense, or you will behave what?
Wisely.
And so God expects all of us as new creations under Christ Jesus to behave what?
Wisely.
So if you get out of here today and you get on your golf cart, and you roll up here and one of those golf carts zip right on past you, don't pay attention to praise God. And when the golf carts come flying through here and don't stop at the stop sign, you look at that person like they what?
Crazy.
And some of us may have the guts to go do what?
Yes.
Say something. Go follow. Because now we're mad because they're not following the rules of this place. Yeah. Am I correct? Mm-hmm. But we need to learn how to, even though they're acting crazy, we still need to learn how, even if we look in front of them, to do what? Behave what? Because if we don't, it's going to create a problem. Mm-hmm. The Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh answer stirs up what?
Anger.
Yeah. And so even when dealing with our problems, we have to make sure that we deal with them in such a manner that the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us in all truth and righteousness. Because if he don't, it's just going to rest. It's going to ruin the rest of our day. I promise you, if you went after that person, you said something to them very nice, and they arrogantly came back at you in their lack of regard for everybody else and all the rules of this wonderful place, then your day is set afire. I can tell you that right now. You're probably getting your golf cart, roll back to your camper or wherever you're staying, hot as a firecracker or fish grease. Am I telling the truth? Mm-hmm. Now everybody else in the house is going to catch your anger because this person down here decided to act like they and have no good sense. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm telling you, we need to learn how to do it at all times. Behave what? I'm going to keep saying that. You might as well get it in your soul. We need to learn how to behave what?
Wisely.
It does not matter what other people do.
That's right.
Because we can't control what.
That's right.
But we can honor Christ in our what? Lives.
Amen.
By the way that we operate, because there is a thing called the fruit of the what?
Spirit.
And it gives us how God's character is and should be in each and every one of us in Galatians chapter 5. You pick up verse 22. It tells you the fruit of the Spirit. And we all need to live like we know what that fruit looks like. Amen?
Amen.
And so we're going to find ourselves in one or two positions. Now listen to this for a second. Now it happened, when they were coming home, David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women had come out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, with musical instruments. So the women saying as they danced, they said, Saul has slain his what? Thousands, and David his what? 10,000. So after David had done what he did and delivered the children of Israel from Philistines, The word went out to all the what? Cities. The people heard all of David's great words. And so now people are celebrating who? David. And I told my Bible study crew last week, I said, it is very easy to find yourself in a funk when somebody else is receiving what? Praise, and you are not. Mm-hmm. Amen? Especially when you know you've been working your tail off all week long. And here this joke right beside me has been lazy, they have not done their job, but they always find favor in the sight of the supervisor while you are busting your knuckles to make everything run, doing their job, everybody else's job, and nobody recognizes what? You. It's enough to get up underneath your skin, isn't it?
Amen. Amen.
But we need to learn how to behave what? Yeah. As I said last week, your season will come. There's a day that will come where people will recognize you for all the good works you do. As long as your works are done unto who? God. Colossians chapter 3:17 says, do all things as you do them unto the Lord. Not unto man, not unto everybody else. Do all things as you do them unto the Lord. And I think it's in verse 23 or verse 24. It says, and do all things unto the Lord heartily. Have a great spirit about you. Don't allow what's not happening for you to sour who you are in the Lord. Amen. Because it's easy to get what? Real what? Sour.
Amen.
I can't believe that this person is getting an award for the employee of the year. And this joker hasn't done nothing all year long. It'll mess you up. Yeah, you have work on time. You do all your work and somebody else's work. And they just love this person. But look what happened. So they're singing. They're singing. The women are singing. They're dancing. They didn't give Saul. It's not like they did not give Saul any praise. Did they give Saul some praise? They did. They said, listen to this. Saul has slain, in verse 7, Saul has slain his what? Thousand. So it wasn't like they did not recognize his work. They did recognize his work. They just did not recognize him the way that he felt he should be what? How old are you? My gosh, you look like you're about 14 years old. You're young looking. But 17 is young, but still. Have you finished school yet? One more year. You're going in there with a bang this year to sing, aren't you? See what she did? She said, yeah. I love that confidence. And whatever you find happening in your school, don't let them stop. Do not let them steal your joy. Make this the most memorable year. You're not going to get it back. Once it's over, it is what? Over. Make mom, dad, everybody else. Is that grandma back there? Make grandma proud. Listen, if nobody else is proud of you, they are. And so don't let anybody rob you of your joy. Don't let anybody steal from you the goodness of all of God that he's placed in you as a wonderful young lady. It's amazing of what God will do. I'm telling you, my wife said it this morning. She said, the first shall be last, and the last shall be what? First. And so when you're being minimized, overlooked, and just totally disregarded, at some point in time or another, because your heart's right and you're doing things right, God will elevate you. He talks about that in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. He says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due season he shall do what? Exalt you. So while you're doing things to God's glory, not looking for anything out of it, there comes a season where God elevates you. Now everybody wondering, well, how did she get that?
Amen.
How did that door open for her? Where did that big scholarship come from? In all of these things, all these great things, do you play sports? What do you love?
Track.
Oh, so you're a cross country runner. 3.5 miles of run. Do you get it in? You want to run? Come up here. Hey, listen, do that. Do that with great joy. And while you're out there running, run with Jesus on your mind. Tell him put wings underneath your feet. Let you just glide on past people. God will do it. He'll open those doors for you. I'm telling you, God will open doors and put you in great places. But Saul got back. This is why I said this, and I'm not going to keep us on. That's why I said it. And I need us to understand this. You're either going to walk in Saul's shoes or you're going to walk in David's shoes. Mm-hmm. But God desires to make sure that we look like Christ Jesus everywhere we go. And so it wasn't that Saul didn't get any praise. He got some praise. He just didn't get the praise he thought that he should have had. And one of the things I always try to remind people, I've had the good fortune of having a business that I have not put a lot of attention and time in called Suit Communications. And it's a professional personal development company. And so I really got to get working on it now because retirement is before me and I got to figure out how to make this thing work. But I had an opportunity to teach before the USDA upper management staff. I had a chance to go to one of their conferences and teach them about diversity. And so people thought I was coming in to teach about how to get along with other people that are of a different culture or race. I came in and taught them how people must adjust themselves to deal with them. And their various dysfunctions, their various idiosyncrasies, and everything else. I told them, I said, do you know how hard it is for one of your employees to come in and have to adjust their 8 or 9 hour day to fit your mode, which your supervisor? How tough that can make. I said, whereas you're in a position to make the atmosphere as a supervisor, you can set the tone for everybody's day. Either it can be a bad day or it can be a great day. So while we're so worried about learning how to get along with other people are learning how to get along with you, just enforcing one word. Just totally amazing when you think about it. Because when you, I told the supervisor, I said, when you don't come in, you come in with a whole lot of baggage.
Yes.
I don't know if you and your spouse got into it before you came to work with it. I don't know what's lingering from yesterday on the job. Mm-hmm. I don't know who may have fixed your coffee right at the local 7-Eleven or Sheets. Because they didn't make the coffee strong enough. So all of a sudden, I don't know who cut you off coming to work today. Mm-hmm. I don't know how your children would happen. But you're in a position to build in the lives of the people who are underneath you. You set the tone, you set the atmosphere, and you can empower them to do great things.
Yes.
And because you empowered them to do great things, you also can take a hand clap for how well your section did today, or you can come in there, and excuse me what I'm about to say, you can piss everybody off.
Yes.
And nothing gets done effectively. So you can be salt. Look what happened here in verse 8. So Saul was very what? Angry. He was very angry, and the saying displeased him, and he said, and he talking to himself. Saul talking to himself. How many times talk to himself?
All the time.
And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the king? He is just silent, mad and angry. But I'm telling you right now, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, all those who are in Christ Jesus are new what? Creations. All old things have what? Passed away. So we shouldn't behave, we should not be behaving like who? Saul. Behold, all things have become what? New. Now, if you look at verse 18 of chapter 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says something very important. And it has a very, very powerful two-letter word in there that people often miss. It says this, now all things are of, that's a powerful word, God. Why is that word of? Because it means derived from. So when you become a new creation in Christ Jesus, now everything that you're supposed to do should be deriving from who?
God. Amen.
Now how many of us are on our best behavior all the time? Mm-hmm. How many of us oftentimes recognize when God is trying to do something good for you in the midst of a situation when things are going wrong, but yet we don't make things better, we contribute to the continuous dysfunction. Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too, brother. I understand that. But God wants something different from each and every one of us. He does. He wants the very best from us. And so I'm going to throw this at you this morning as I'm about to close in just a minute. When you find yourself in the midst of an adverse situation, whether it is directly involving you or indirectly involving you, did you ever consider that God may have put you there because you're the means by which things can be straightened out? Have you ever considered that? I'm in this, a lot of times we get into this, like, how in the world did I get here? And why me, Lord? Why am I in this place? Versus where God wants to mature all of us, because He's positioning us to be the means by this, be the means by why this whole situation is correct. But a lot of times we add to the foolishness of it. Whatever it is that's happening out there, some geese don't know why. Geese out there mad. They're just mad because Charlie won't go to the water. That's all it is. That's all it is. So let the geese bother you right now. But I'm telling you right now, so when you find yourself coming into a situation, again, whether it is directly or indirectly involving you, we need to know, make sure that we are what? Behaving what? Right. We need to take the principles of God's word, apply them to our lives, and allow this situation to work for God's kingdom and God's glory. Because when people look at you and they see your behavior, they see your actions, they see how you love and glorify God, people's lives are changed and impacted.
Amen.
They are. They're changed and impacted. My favorite scripture says this over in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Let not the book of the law depart from thy mouth, but meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all according to what's written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. And that's the word says. That's what God's telling Joshua as he's saying over Moses. He says, if you keep this word, and you meditate on it day and night. That's Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. You meditate on it day and night. And to observe, to do according to all that is written in it, then you will make your way prosperous and you have this. So really the onus is on all of us to make sure that we're meditating on what? God's word.
Amen.
And then when we find ourselves just living our lives daily without anything going wrong, or if something goes wrong, we must apply His word, observe to do according to all that's written in it. Then we will have prosperity, we will have success, God will be honored in our actions, and at the end of the day, He's glorified, and things work out for our good.
Amen.
Just that simple. God makes this thing simple for us. We make it more complex and difficult than what it has to be. Because we're so focused on everybody else.
Amen.
Versus just us. We can only control who? Us.
Amen.
That's my son back there. Love him immensely, but I can't control him. I can give him ultimatums. I can say, hey man, listen, you do X, Y, and Z, or else dad will do this. And praise God, he respects it. But I don't give him no kind of crazy ultimatum all the time. I give him to him every once in a while. And so with that being the case, the Bible tells me, do not provoke your blood.
Sure.
And so now I'm learning how to better relate to him and my daughters at that hour. Everybody know that? You do? Okay, so yeah, you got that's not the deal. She said, yeah, I work. But I still have a lot of work to do. They have to put up with my foolishness and my lack of wisdom sometimes. Because wisdom is the ability to apply that which you know. What do we know? We know the word of God. One thing we do know is we want God to deal with us in love, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So why aren't we dealing with everybody else in love? Mm-hmm. Sound. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 tells us to imitate God. That's just the issue. Imitate God. So we're doing what God desires for us to do, as far as what God's doing towards us, that everybody should feel the same thing from us that we are feeling from God. Everybody all right with that this morning?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a whole lot more I want to give you all, but this is where we close. I'm not going to expand on it. But in verse 14, it says again, and David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. He behaved wisely in what ways? In the good ways? When everything was good? The bad times? They said, no, David behaved wisely in all his what? Ways. David was an arrogant, he beat Goliath as a teenager. He came back with his attitude, his haughtiness. David behaved wisely when he made him the leader of all his men of war. In this very same chapter, David was demoted. How's that fit? Are you the captain of the tractor? No. Should you be? Listen, none of my people know who you are, so you can tell me free. Should you be the captain of your track team?
I don't think so.
No, why not?
Not that good.
Not what good?
Not that good at running.
It's not the pinnacle on your running. It's the granola. You got a great heart. Leadership starts there. Not in your ability to run fast. Anybody can run fast. There's a whole lot of fools who run fast. A lot of silly people who run fast. But it's those people who demonstrate great character who leads well. So I think you're a good leader. I don't know why. You're a good leader?
Why don't you get your mama?
Say what you think, mama.
That's right, you're a good leader.
Always.
Always. Yeah, you're a great leader. Don't let anybody rob you of that.
Leadership is always the devil. There's some people who are naturally born. Others, every one of us have a phenomenal life to be a leader and have impact on people's lives. You go to that track team this year, you do this for me. I met this guy told me, tell all y'all, get here now. I'm a senior. Let's get it done. Let's get this thing done. Let's run like God put wings underneath our feet. We're going to win this race. I had a guy, we had a guy, and I'm done. I just got to tell the story. I love it. So I want you to be careful cross country running, because a friend of mine, his name is Joe, a little bit older than I am. That was his nickname. He ran cross country. So they were running in I don't know if it was a district or if it was a regional meet at T.C. Williams. And Joe was running through the woods and he ran completely over. That they wore you around. Never saw it coming. And I think the deer was fleeing something, and the other was going through the wood. Got any little wooded sections y'all went through? You got any little wooded sections y'all went through? Okay, so when you run through there, don't run through there, tell me where's the deer. Just say, Lord, guide me through this place and keep me protected as I run through all this year. But that deer ran the other, oh, he was a great one. Oh my gosh, he's a great one. Got a great deer for protection. And so leadership begins with your heart. I think you can lead them. You can fire up them new pet thoughts. Drop them with scripture without even telling them what the scripture is. Just use the principles of it. And so with that, God expects us to behave what?
Wise.
Then we can do that today.
Amen.
Amen. So while we're still here, you may not have gotten it right yesterday, last night, or even when we woke up this morning. But we can begin right now, because God's grace and mercy is on our life. Because we're still working.
Yeah.
Amen. So we're going to make sure we behave wisely going forward. And we're going to do all those things that God called us to do, that He may be honored in our life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'll turn this back over to Kevin.
Praise God. Thank you all.
Thank you, Brother Todd.
Thank you. Thank you.